Did you ever play the over-under game with your friends? You know, think I could eat that slice of pizza in under 30 seconds? I know I did. If you have, then you're going to love Pick 6, the new fantasy game from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code DKHOOPS for a shot at huge cash prizes. That's code DKHOOPS only on DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including, but not limited to, Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Oh no, the dawn, the passing of time comes for everyone, 2000s basketball fans included, as we celebrated just a ton of wonderful human beings being inducted into the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. We're going to discuss that incredible headlining class of 2023, as well as continuing our division by division predictions with the Pacific Division on this episode with writer and recording artist Claire DeLune on today's episode. I'm Miles Gray.
And I'm Jack O'Brien.
And this is
Miles and Jack O'Boosties.
A three-pointer. Bang! Steph Curry from downtown again.
Giannis with the take. Uh-oh, look out. Little showtime. What you got, Giannis?
Oh, Claire DeLune. Welcome, writer for The Guardian. Your band Tiny Death has a new single coming out at the end of the month, and you have chosen to bless us on our podcast, Miles and Jack. I'm Matt Boosties. Thank you for coming.
Man, thanks for having me. I'm excited. I haven't actually been on a podcast to talk basketball in several weeks now, because we're in that doldrums of the off season where everyone who works in the NBA universe is in like some tropical location with their phones on Do Not Disturb. So
yeah.
Getting back in the swing of things.
Yeah.
I haven't been paying any attention. I haven't like looked at any news. I'm coming in fresh, so I'm just opening up my updates. Oh, what is happening?
Oh, Sixers news.
It's a good time to take a vacation and put your phone on Do Not Disturb if you're a Sixers fan.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
You just want to hop right in, Jack? You want to rip the Band-Aid off? Or just a little banter up top? What do you say? What should we do?
Yeah, I mean, I thought that they're just gonna bring him back and it's gonna work out. As I was mentioning on last week's episode, and our guest was like, "I don't think so. That doesn't usually work out with James Harden."
Yeah,
and
so far, not feeling that.
Yeah, turns out doesn't look good. He does not appear to want to play for the Philadelphia 76ers this season. Mm-hmm. And I don't know who's going to trade for him. So I don't know what we're going to do.
Yeah.
I feel like Embiid's most comfortable when like one of his top teammates is sitting out due to a contract dispute. Like that seems to be how he likes to play. So I think maybe this is all just, you know, getting him in his comfort spot.
Primed for the season.
Well, but did you guys see the latest goss on Twitter involving Joel Embiid?
that he removed.
Yeah. Processing gone. Philly from the bio gone.
And the process from his Twitter bio. So
yeah.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
Maybe he doesn't like the vibes in Philly.
Huh? Why wouldn't he? How could he not?
Very consistent. Such a consistent team, obviously. Obviously.
Yeah. The process has been, it's been processing for, it's like a Dell, it's like a 2001 Dell computer.
Yeah, it is hard to understand what Joel Embiid would be frustrated about. For those of us who don't understand, that somebody, there is a viral list going around of like just, you know, a rundown of what the 76ers have done each year, 2013 through the present. And they left out a lot of bad stuff like on the list. They, so they covered, you know, traded 21-year-old. A lot of this stuff predates my time as a Sixers fan. But once you get into...
Oh, predates your pain, right.
Yeah. Once you get into 2016...
It's the Markeith era, yeah.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, that's what I remember. That was the beginnings of me watching you slowly begin to fade.
Yeah. 2016...
I mean, there were high highs and low lows, right? Like, you guys were one Game 7 collapse away from the conference finals.
Eastern Conference finals, yeah. They don't seem to want to get
and
there,
one
though,
Kawhi Leonard in improbable bounce away as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, so, I'd forgotten about that. That's right. That did happen. Yeah.
I remember. Right. I remember Kawhi where I was shot. When I was watching that. I'm surprised that you, as a Sixers fan, that it's not like emblazoned in your memory in that way. Because I remember I was on my friend's couch. I was on a trip, and I was on my friend's couch visiting, and I was like kind of reclined on the couch, like lying down. And when that shot started bouncing off the rim, I like leapt off the couch and I was just standing there watching it bounce, like breath suspended. And it was one of the craziest endings to a game that I think I've ever seen in my life.
No, it's not ringing any bells. So 2016. Now, I'm not going to go down the list, but here's what the list leaves out.
Every year it's saying one decision, one what thing. Terrible so, decision that or a terrible occurrence
kicks
for the 76ers.
Off 2016 hired their advisor's son to run the team, which gave us the line. It's a normal collar, find a new angle, which we use a lot just in our
just with reflexively. Brad Colangelo.
2017 number one pick loses the ability to shoot a basketball. 2018 GM trashed star player on Twitter under burner accounts, hired a new GM with no experience. That was the it's a normal collar, find a new angle drama. 2019 traded Jimmy Butler. 2020 fired coach, hired new coach, then hired new GM. 2021 star point guard demands trade. 2022 investigated for tampering. I didn't even remember that. 2023 star point guard demands trade. They did leave out that their 2016 number one pick also lost the ability to shoot or like kind of never had it,
or
but
just
like
play basketball in general.
Yeah. Which that's wild. 2016 and 2017 number one picks both lost the ability to shoot is like more of a curse than anything that would make sense. You know, the 2016 number one pick is a better shooter with his right hand, but refuses to shoot with his right hand. But and then the 2017 pick that lost the ability to shoot a basketball, they traded up away from drafting Jason Tatum to get him. So I just, it's important to keep in mind that they are currently, you know, two very bad moves away from having Jason Tatum, Jimmy Butler, Joel Embiid, and whatever you could have gotten for Ben Simmons. Like if they had just traded Ben Simmons instead of Jimmy Butler at that point,
right,
when it was like either Butler or Simmons, that was like the peak of Ben Simmons's like trade value. So
yeah, do you think it was like the stubbornness about like that the process was worth it that kept, because that was kind of my interpretation, was that Simmons and Embiid were sort of like the homegrown stars and sort of the products of the process, and that the Philly fans have been so long suffering throughout this process that they wanted to say like, see, it was worth it. We got our two hallmark stars out of this, versus catering to Jimmy Butler, who ultimately, I think in retrospect, is obviously the better choice, but was like, they traded for him and he wasn't from there and he hadn't really expressed interest in staying there because when he was leaving Minnesota, the Heat was actually his preferred destination at that time as well.
Yeah, it might be a little pat to be like, they could have had Jimmy Butler because Jimmy Butler didn't seem that excited to stay.
He might have left in free agency.
Yeah, there is some reporting that like he was like, the thing that I don't want is to be on Ben Simmons's team. And they were like, well, Buster, well, you're out of here.
Then. Well, the thing about Jimmy Butler that, so Jimmy is my, I don't know if you guys have ever like even scrolled my Twitter, you know, LeBron James is my favorite player of all time and currently, but my second favorite player is Jimmy Butler. And something I love about Jimmy is like when he doesn't get along with people and when he doesn't like people, it's because they don't, it's because of one thing. It's because they don't grind hard enough. They don't have like his work ethic and they don't approach the game in that way. And I feel like, so that was like the issue that he had with Karl Anthony Towns. That was the issue that he had with Ben Simmons. And I kind of respect that because I feel like the people he ends up having issues with are these guys who were like super high draft picks, like physically gifted, who maybe don't have to like put forth quite as much effort into their game in order to be successful. Obviously, everybody has to put forth effort to be successful in the NBA. Yeah. Like it's a very small sample size of human beings who get to play at that level.
Yeah.
But I think that's something that people that Jimmy butted heads with have in common is that they just weren't, they weren't like dogs in that way. Like they weren't willing to like get their hands dirty. And I think that's why the Heat was always going to be such a great fit for him, is because Pat Riley has like a zero tolerance policy for players like that. So no one's going to survive in Miami with or without Jimmy Butler, without that mentality.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. It is hard to be this physically gifted and, you know, maintain a strong work ethic. I've found.
You took it for granted, man. You took it for granted. Yeah.
But anyways, it just does feel like they've had to work to get themselves, like, to dodge really great players in a couple instances.
It's kind of fascinating. It is kind of fascinating. And like, they're always at the center of the NBA news cycle drama somehow.
Yeah.
Which is kind of amazing, especially when you think of like, they kind of dodged a bullet in a way with like, the way they went out, I thought at the end of this past season was like quite embarrassing because they really had it like in that game six. But the Celtics found a way to like out in like a more embarrassing fashion so that it kind of buried that in the news cycle. Like, how did the Celtics fumble that Eastern Conference Finals? But then the Sixers were like, hold my beer. We're right back at it in the news cycle. And we're going to be at the center of the drama again before you know it. And the Celtics are just kind of like quietly figuring out what to do about Kristaps Porzingis plantar fascia or whatever. So,
yeah.
It's, I don't know.
A lot, like the process stuff gets a lot of attention, but their other philosophy as an organization, all press is good press, doesn't get as much, but it's definitely important to how they run things. And they just like to be messy and get as much ink as possible.
I feel like it's relevant for me to say on the record that I do love Daryl Morey because he's a fan of my band and has been quite supportive of my music.
There you go.
So he didn't lie to you about so liking
team,
your band.
Team Daryl Morey in the Daryl Morey versus James Harden. Actually, honestly, Team Daryl Morey in general in this scenario, because I feel like the hubris of James Harden to be like, because clearly he's just mad. Daryl, it sounds like, I don't know, I wasn't there. This isn't like, I'm not reporting anything, but it sounds like maybe there was some sort of like gentleman's agreement about a longer contract extension if he agreed to take a pay cut last year, and that didn't end up happening. But it's like, hey, James, maybe that didn't end up happening because you were a no-show in the most important moments of the playoffs again, and they realized that they could not hitch their wagon to you in good conscience. Like, if you showed up in big moments, you're one of the most talented NBA players of all time. Like, the bag would be getting thrown at you still, but you fall apart when it really matters. And so I think it's like, I'm like number one player empowerment. Like, I feel like the players should have the power. They are the talent. They are the reason any of us have a job. But at the end of the day, like, you have to show up in the big moments if you want the big paycheck. Like, that is the correlation. And they'll give you the benefit of the doubt for a season, maybe two seasons. But James Harden, like, year in, year out, in the absolute biggest moments, has found a way to be a no-show, regardless of how much of an MVP season he's had in the regular season, regardless of how well he's played in the first or second round, even. So, one's going to want to pay you.
And I'm like, where do you go? Like, given all that, too.
Literally,
you know,
like, I was trying to think of that today. I was like, what team would be, because it's, this is the issue with a lot of these unhappy superstars that demand trades, is like, it has to be a team that's good enough that they're right. willing to mortgage their future to try and win now, but not so good that they have assets that they're not willing to give up, which is like, I would say maybe like 2 to 3 teams total for any superstar. Like, that's in that little sweet spot of like, we think we have a chance, but we clearly need like a James Harden level talent to get us over the hump. That's like not very many teams.
Right.
And if a team is trying to tank, they don't want to bring in big talent and they don't want to give up draft picks to do it. And if a team is really in the championship hunt, they don't really need to like roll the dice.
Yeah, it's a risk.
A player like James Harden, who's so mercurial and might, you know, be unhappy before the trade deadline.
Yeah. I love that euphemistic use of mercurial to describe him.
I mean, yeah.
Truculent, even.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think that's, yeah, he's just, he's in that, I feel like we were looking at this exact same scenario when Kyrie was demanding out of a trade out of Brooklyn last year. It's like, how many teams were in that sweet spot of being like, we need Kyrie Irving's services. We're in desperate need of a talent that big, and we're willing to mortgage our future to do it. And it doesn't really matter what the long-term implications are. And I feel like Dallas was kind of one of the only teams in that spot where it's like, Luka is going to demand a trade within the next 1 to 2 seasons if we don't figure out a way to get him some help. And also, we're pretty good already and it's worth trying, you know?
Right.
I don't know what that team
does
is for James
Kyrie
Harden right
for
now.
Harden makes sense. Like, just, it doesn't make sense for anyone, but like, just because the Sixers need to get it, like, he won't play for them. Does, like, would he be a better fit than Kyrie in Dallas?
I mean, that's a good question. I don't know how bad the Kyrie in Dallas situation is. And I think something that a lot of times NBA fans, when they're trying to predict this stuff, underestimate is like the egos of the people in charge of making the trades.
Yeah.
And they are really, really reticent to admit defeat when they made a bad decision. And I think signing Kyrie was obviously, they didn't even make the playoffs / play-in tournament last year. So I think that has not panned out to be as what they hoped it would be. I think it usually takes another full season before they're willing to admit that was a bad idea. Because they did give up a lot to get him.
Yeah.
Not necessarily in like current. They gave up, you know, future stuff. They gave up, I think, was Dinwiddie in that trade?
Yeah, I think he was.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I mean, yeah. So they gave up quite a bit. And I think it takes more than you would think for these very like stubborn GMs to be like, oh yeah, my bad. Let me fix that real quick.
Right.
You know, yeah. I think it takes a lot. It usually takes at least a full season.
Right.
Or well, a
Cuban
full
seems
meltdown.
Like a down to earth guy, so I don't know. We'll see if he comes around.
From what I've seen on Shark Tank.
Yeah, no. As super producer Jabari said, we should have just put the ether beat under what you just said about James Harden. it was hurtful, but I think 76ers fans need to hear it.
Yeah.
And come to terms with it.
Yes. It is what it is. You know.
Tis what it is.
Who has better strip clubs? Philly or Dallas?
Oh, that's a great question.
I feel like
question.
That's a factor that we should be including as well.
Let me get my spreadsheet out here real quick.
Where's that USB thumb drive you have on your keychain that you plug
those
in?
Those Southern girls, you know, they're well fed.
Yeah. Yeah.
They look good in a thong.
I mean, so, but also you think like Portland, like per capita, that's also like the epicenter of concentration of adult strip clubs.
I feel too, like
so.
If it's Portland vibes, though. Somehow traded Damian Lillard for James Harden, there would be riots. I can't think
he's
of
he's got a beard just like all of you people.
Yeah,
exactly.
Just throw him
look
in a
around
flannel,
yeah,
put him on a fixed gear bike, he'll blend right in.
Exactly. And he's late for his shift at Powell's Books later. Come on.
I mean, would be a miracle for Philly, I would say, because Daryl Morey, like Damian Lillard is Daryl Morey's white whale. He's been trying to get Damian Lillard since the Ben Simmons James Harden times, maybe longer. So, I mean, I think Daryl would be thrilled with that, but I can't imagine a scenario in which Portland does that unless there's like a ton of draft capital that Philly has that I'm not privy to.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. That's for the fantasy books for sure.
Yeah. Although maybe, I mean, I don't know. Maxi, I don't know. They probably wouldn't throw in Maxi.
No, I feel like, because I feel like the fans, you see Maxi as like a franchise player, right? They can't, you can't,
I know,
can't
but
part
I,
ways with him.
Do you understand how much Daryl loves Damian Lillard? Like,
that, yeah, I mean, we'll also, see. We'll
the
test
other
his
thing,
gangster.
The minutiae of these trades, right, is like, to, like, as we were talking about, like, it's about where you're at as a franchise. It's not just about like the pieces on the board in general. It's about the context in which they exist, which is like, how likely are you to win right now? What's at stake? And for Philly, I mean, if Joel is kind of like making overtures that he's threatening to also demand a trade, like the pressure's on if you're going to keep Joel Embiid. I mean, that's another conversation. Like, do you even want to mortgage your future for Joel Embiid? Is it worth it? He hasn't really shown up in big moments either, to be honest. So,
yeah, I'm having trouble breathing right now, but
I'm so sorry.
I think,
we can move on.
I think he'll be no. Yeah. I think
his Apple Watch is going off. It's like, are you having some kind of heart?
Did you just fall down a long
period? You're in a very contentious environment. It's like, I didn't even know it had that setting. What?
Yeah. You are getting...
Remove yourself.
Sir, are you in the
process of
being
unhappy.
Cooked?
Your unhappiness ratings are through the roof right now.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I don't know. It does seem like they don't really have a move at this point. It does. It's also wild that Harden went as public as he did with that demand, because it like makes it harder for them to deal him,
right?
It's so one of those awkward videos I've ever seen too, because like these, he was in China, right?
Yeah.
So like the Chinese kids are just like, we're so happy you're here, and they're he's just
Daryl Morey is a liar. You're like, what?
As like unwitting pawns in this like public meltdown, and I'm just like, that's so. Can you just do that? Like, can you just call Malika Andrews and have a sit down if you want to like air that? Do you have to bring these innocent children into the equation? Like, they're just trying to be in a basketball camp, dude.
I mean, he's having fun in China. I saw that clip of him sell 10,000 bottles of wine in like 40 seconds, like on TikTok or whatever. And he's like,
I mean, maybe he should go play in China then. If he's having just a good time.
See what kind of value we can get back.
Should we break or should we hit the Hall of Fame talk first?
Let's take a quick break.
Yeah,
and then we'll come back and talk about an all-timer Hall of Fame class, Hall of Fame ceremony.
With
we'll
some
right
heartwarming
back.
Moments.
Finally.
Did you ever play the over-under game with your friends? You know, think I could eat that slice of pizza in under 30 seconds? I know I did. If you have, then you're going to love Pick 6, the new fantasy game from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Here's how to play during the NBA playoffs. Pick between 2 and 6 players and choose if they'll have more or less of a stat. Rebounds, points, assists, and more. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code DKHOOPS for a shot at huge cash prizes. That's code DKHOOPS only on DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER, 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including, but not limited to, Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire. With the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
And we're back. And over the weekend, you know, we had the Hall of Fame class inducted, the headliners, Dirk, Powell, Tony Parker, D-Wade, Pop, Becky Hammon. It was a wonderful moment, I think, for fans of a certain age, especially for me. I was just like, wow. Like, in a way, it didn't make me feel old. I felt like proud of them, like as if I was older sibling. Like, there you go. I love to see it. There were some fantastic moments. There was a moment in Dirk's speech where he's just, you know, just handing some roses over to Steve Nash. That I think was also fantastic because he did take that moment to talk about their hairstyles. So let's hear from that.
Creativity is worth nothing without leadership. And the guy that comes to my mind is my friend, Steve.
I mean, it would have been awkward if he said anyone else because Steve Nash was sitting right there.
I think we came a long way from those two brutal haircuts we saw there. You had the frosted tips you had.
Frosted tips.
You know, who would have thought when we first started to play together that we'll be on the stage together? That is, means the world to me, and you were a great role model to me and the best teammate I ever had. So you were always positive. You always encouraged me. We worked our butts off at night, went back to the gym, so and you became a friend for life. So thank you, my friend.
Oh, just watching two greats bro-ing down like that.
Love a good bro down.
Yeah,
Steve Nash is very shiny these days, I've noticed. That's my one.
He's getting some sun, you know?
Yeah.
He's getting
sun,
a good tan.
Botox.
More soccer, probably, you know, just out there on the pitch.
Allegedly.
This did raise the question to me of, like, where their haircuts, because their haircuts were pretty bad. Like, Nash, when he first came into the league, for a long part of his career, he had that, like, stringy, like, guy who smokes weed on the soccer team look, you know?
Which was probably,
the early 2000s
like,
were
pretty right
rough,
on.
Rough time for male hairstyles, yeah. I would say, in general.
Totally.
A lot of swoopy side, you know, like yeah. long things going on, a lot of like skunky highlights and dark hair. There was frosted tips to Dirk's point. It was rough. It was a rough time.
Yeah.
Dirk had like a middle part, right? Like he looked
yeah.
like he
had the middle part.
Was at a Dave Matthews Band concert.
Exactly.
Kind of.
And then Steve yeah. Nash looked like he was like a Lance Bass
oh,
like lookalike
I wish,
from long distance.
Wow.
You guys could see the photo we're looking at right now.
With
they
look
like
drafted.
They look like members of Backstreet Boys. And then that's yeah. not hyperbole. They
ones that didn't make it, though.
Yeah.
Like Lou Pearlman was
know.
Like, I don't know about them, too, actually.
Have you actually looked at, like, photos of, like, boy band members at the time, though, in retrospect? Because no. Some of them were really, like, I'm yeah. like, you were hot enough to be in a boy band? Like,
Chris
who
Kirkpatrick.
This?
I think Chris Kirkpatrick, early Chris Kirkpatrick and Sync.
Look at that guy.
Yeah.
Like,
look
back
at him.
In the heyday when he had, like, the weird ass.
He looks like
the
guy
weird
from
braids.
Counting Crows.
Oh, Adam Durwitz? Come on.
Yeah.
The goat.
He does.
The goat.
The goat.
Had it locked up like Jamaican hair. Come on now.
I remember reading an article like Waiting for the Dentist once in like one of those tabloids about like all the hot celebrity women that Adam Duritz has dated.
Yeah.
And like,
oh,
you gotta give
it
up.
Yeah. No, I
it's
mean
really when, for the love of the game. He's just out here.
It's when you
theoretical physicists are still trying to explain what happened there.
They are.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. But then like
my dating life as well, actually, they're still on the case.
A lot of white dudes with dreads, huh?
Oh, my like, God.
Oh, no.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Not with a 10-foot pole, my friend.
But I mean, I guess speaking of some interesting haircuts.
Oh, I thought you were going to say speaking of your dating.
No, we've got someone on the phone right now. Like, look at Vlad Rad. When he
yeah,
was
we
rocking
to go
these
through,
like micro braids.
Where did this rank? Because there was some
okay.
bad things happening.
That top
yeah.
one is giving Millie Vanilli.
Yeah,
oh,
Vladimir Radmanovich
girl, yeah.
had like tiny little braids.
All these references are aging me so hard, by the way. Like Backstreet Boys, Millie Vanilli. It's like I'm not
hey,
Gen Z.
And I'm over
I've
here
outed,
like
I've outed myself.
I'm going
still,
further back. Yeah.
I still remember where I was the first time I saw Andrei Kirilenko when he like stopped using gel.
Yeah.
Like because he just went, he was like straight Drago with like the spike for most of his career. And then he like came back and his hair was like very soft and like just feathery and
hot take. Like, that's kind of a look. Like, I feel like he looks like he could be on the OC or something.
In this picture,
in this version, but at the time I was like, what is he, an Oasis or something like that?
Yeah,
like,
it's kind of a vibe. I don't know.
It's very Gallagher, a Gallagher brother hair.
Far. It's the best one. So, not that like there's stiff competition, but
at first, it was, this picture is not doing it justice because right now, like this picture,
the badness or the goodness, like
how bad it was, how bad it was, because he like had a fade with a spike, and then like one game, he just like his hair was just forward, and it just for whatever reason, it was around the time that like his game started like tapering off a little bit. I feel like
it, Austin Reeves' hair kind of looks like that right now, actually, because he kind of grew it out for Team USA.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's like it's like wavy, floppy, dude. Thin... He's wavy, dude. He's in his wavy, you know, era right now, I think.
And you mean wavy as like a figurative term, not like his hair is wavy?
No, yeah. Quite so straight. Obviously, I use that in like the young kids version. Yeah. Like, oh, he's wavy.
Again, you know I already told you, I'm a millennial. I don't know. Me I'm not too. Up on this.
I'm a geriatric millennial, but I know how to fit in with them kids. You know what I mean?
I am Gen
Hello,
Z.
Fellow kids.
Hello, so, yeah. With my music band T-shirt. And then obviously, you know, like I mean, I hate to do this to our boy, but late stage Caruso. You know,
so glad he
also,
came home. Good for him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was
exactly.
Time. It was beyond
it was.
Time.
It was. Even late stage Chris Kamen was also a very interesting hairstyle. But anyway, that was. Let's get back to another heartwarming moment. Dwayne Wade.
Oh my God. I literally cried. I cried my eyes out.
I cried too, but that's only because his dad's hairline is so strong. I couldn't believe it. That's why I was in tears. But also the father-son dynamic was also touching.
We had the same exact dream.
And hairline.
And we carry the same exact name, Dwayne Tyrone Wade. To know we hustle all the way to the Basketball Hall of Fame is God's will. So, Pops, I know your knee's a little sore, but will you join me on stage as we take our rightful step into basketball heaven?
I mean...
It's this next part. It's the next part.
This one right here. This one is for my father. I love you, and I'm thankful for you.
I love you too, man.
We in the Hall of Fame, dog.
Iconic. Okay, this was so touching and moving that my mom, who knows nothing about basketball, and is on a completely different part of Twitter, like, texted me and was like, who is this? This was so beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm like, yeah, Mom, that's Dwayne Wade. Literally Hall of Famer Dwayne Wade, as evidenced by the video.
Yeah.
Like, one of the most famous shooting guards of all time.
Oh, my
but
goodness.
She doesn't give a bleep about what I do.
Oh, well. It's like, yeah, I know. It's what I do. Oh, sure. But this father-son relationship was really something else. Yeah. And then finally, Becky Hammond. Dude, this was another one where it was like, in its minimalism, made it so touching when Becky Hammon is like,
oh,
you know,
my gosh,
wants
it was
to
the look
send...
on Pop's face was what did it for me.
When she's like, I can't look at you, and he was like, I can't even look at you right now either. Yeah, you know how it was so beautiful. But here, let's let them talk for themselves.
Pop, I'm not gonna look at you.
Oh, that's that part when he looked down.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my god.
Oh, seeing Pop get emotional is like the world is off its axis. Like it's so intense.
If I was an actor, I'd use that to motivate myself to cry in real life.
100%.
Man of principle and excellence. I know you weren't trying to be courageous when you hired me, but you did do something nobody else in professional sports has ever done.
Oh, and her voice breaking too as she's trying to get through the sentence.
And Becky Hammond, she is such a like legend.
Both so tough. Like,
yeah.
To see them both get so emotional is like, I think part of it. Like, I wonder if someone who doesn't follow the NBA as closely as we do, like watching that video, would be as moved by it. Cause I think part of it is the context of like, these are two of the toughest, most like unshakable, unmovable characters, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. So. Pop especially, because I mean, like, I'm like, can he be my like parental figure? I like every time he talks, like I hang on to every word. And like, yeah, when you see some, when you see him be moved, you can't help but understand how like monumental that is. Just yeah, like you're saying, 100%. In the context of who they are and how typically like unflappable they are, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Jack, what was which one of those three got you the hardest?
The pop one was a lot.
It was a lot.
Yeah, just like him looking down, watching people like try not to cry. Well, yeah, you know, is like, oh, there's some, there's something about that.
Well,
and
that
also
was
just,
Dwayne Wade's dad too, was trying not to cry. You could tell.
Oh yeah,
his bottom
like,
lip
his
was
neck
like
muscles
quivering.
Were, like,
oh my gosh,
holding
yeah.
it in.
Yeah, meanwhile, I'm just like sobbing on my couch, yeah. just like ugly crying, gasping for breath. Yeah,
It's tough.
But yeah, keeps on giving. Like usually, what goes viral with Pop is him being like, "Is that really your question? That's yeah. really where you're gonna go
I
with?"
No, have you guys ever been in a presser with him?
No,
constantly. Never. We're not taken very seriously. We're kind of a silly podcast.
I was in a press conference that he did last season, and it was like super, super, super small because like the visitors team press conference room at Staples is actually quite small. Like I'm sure it's like the size of whatever rooms you guys are in right now, respectively, like, right. like a little office. And everyone was late to the press conference. So just me and one other person were in there waiting for it to start. And Pop was just like, so you guys got like 5 questions each or whatever? Because like apparently no one else is coming and was just like riffing. And I was just like, I am having a lucid experience. Like, this is crazy. Like yeah. Greg Popovich is like roasting me right now.
Right.
This is the best thing that's ever happened.
Yeah, I can only imagine. I think I would just be like, Pop? There's a meme that we share like on one of our threads for another show we work on of a little otter holding a guitar looking so happy. And I don't know if that's really for nobody except Jack and some of our friends, but I would have been the otter holding
know
the guitar.
The little otter guitar.
Do you know the otter holding the guitar, Claire?
I don't think I do.
Oh, it's
you
this
simply
one.
Simply must. You haven't.
You simply lived. Must. This one.
Oh my! Well, you guys have seen otters holding hands, right? The video.
Yeah.
It's like
yeah.
my favorite video of all time.
So that's
it's my comfort video.
100%. Okay.
This is so cute. He's like, hi. I don't know if you're busy, but I just brought this guitar.
Right, yeah. right. Okay.
He just showed up at your house and you were like, sorry, I don't have time to hang out. He was like, oh, no, it's okay. We're good.
Shall we feast our eyes upon what the betting crew says about the performances of next season for the Pacific
yeah,
Division?
Yeah, the Pacific Division over-unders are interesting.
You know what I was thinking, too, when Jabari sent me the kind of rundown that we were going to be talking about the Pacific Division? Do you guys remember a band called, or like a rap group called Pac-Div?
Oh, yeah. Of course.
I was like, whatever happened to Pac-Div? Like, they were great. I remember seeing them play at like a block party in like probably 2012 or something.
Yeah. I don't know what happened. I mean, it was...
Shout out to Pac-Div,
they had their
wherever
moment.
You are.
Yeah, Pac-Div, let us know. I mean, obviously, yeah, being an LA kid, we loved our Pac-Div out here.
They're
the young ones.
In this episode, the episode description for this will probably light up their Google alerts because it'll say we're doing the Pac-Div. So
come through.
Hi.
Who do you want to start with? The Suns?
Yeah, I mean, this is a pretty stacked division, but so the Suns are where they have like the most improvements happening. The last year they were 45-37. This year they have them, they're over under at 52.5. That seems like a lot.
That's a big jump.
I
mean, I guess they're looking at the, you know,
full season with KD, but
right. Beal coming in. You got, you know, my boy Utah coming in. We got Big Frank in the building.
How we'll do you guys feel about the Bradley Beal thing?
I don't know. I feel like it could go well, but it doesn't feel like the safest move to me.
Yeah.
I'm confused by the faith that people keep, because this happened when I remember when it's like how quickly people forget, but when the KD trade first happened, even they were like, oh, Suns are the favorites to come out of the West. Like they could win the championship this year, even though KD got there and literally sprained his ankle, like before he even played a game with them or a home game. And I'm just like, have we not watched this movie before? Like teams take time to build chemistry, and it's just as much about having some depth as it is having like those couple of superstars. Yes, you can't have one without the other. Like you can't get past the first round of the playoffs without a superstar. I really do believe that. Like it doesn't have to be the best player in the league, but you need at least one, ideally two superstars to make any kind of run in the playoffs, because teams can, they're giving you their best, they're game planning against you. You have to have someone who can just be like, when all of the plans disintegrate, put the ball in their hands and they will just make magic happen. Like, you need one of those players. That being said, you also need a bench full of role players who know their role, are willing to stick to it and execute it and play defense and do all the dirty work that the aforementioned superstar is not going to have like the energy or space to do. And I feel like teams keep just focusing on column A and completely disregarding column B. But if you look back through who the last few champions were, even in just like the last 4 or 5 years, it's that formula. Like, I know, like, I was, this was my biggest qualm with the Lakers. I was like rioting when they traded for Russell Westbrook 2 years after their championship. So I was like, even in the best case scenario of that, right? Even if Russ had like done what he said he was going to do, which is like change basically his entire game to fit into the system with LeBron and AD, you traded away all of what made you win that championship, exactly. Which is this like very deep bench that was full of like very hard-nosed defenders who knew their role and were willing to stick to it. I worry about that with the Suns, because I don't know like who on that team, who are like the dirty work players that are going to like show up for you in the playoffs when, you know, I know that having Beal, Booker and KD and not having to get rid of Ayton obviously is huge in that. I personally, I'm not as threatened by them. I wouldn't be as threatened by them if I was, say, like the Nuggets or even like the Warriors or the Lakers or whatever, as the rest of the league seems to be. They're not heavy favorites to me. They're like in the mix. They're for sure in the mix.
So you taking the under? You think
what
they're going to be
the game total?
52.5 is what they think.
52.5.
Oh, no, I feel like they'll win 52.5 games.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess I was forgetting that they only had KD for half of the season.
Yeah.
When I was thinking.
No, I think they'll win.
They'll probably win that many.
I think they'll win that many games. But my thing is like, to what end is more.
Right, exactly.
I mean, this just made me realize how stacked the Pacific Division is in terms of like how interesting it is. Like the Warriors, their over-under is 48.5. Last year, they won 44. That's a lot of improvement for just like adding Chris Paul.
Well, but Andrew Wiggins and Steph Curry both missed a ton of time last year.
Right.
So
that makes sense.
If they're both healthy this year, that's at least 4 more games, I think.
Speaking of if they're both healthy this year, the Clippers, they have winning more, 3 more games than last season.
Absolutely not.
What? Like, I'm confused by
hit the
why.
Under on that.
Yeah.
I don't know what the Clippers, like, whose mom the Clippers have, like, hiding in a closet somewhere, like, that they can get the media to just predict they're going to win the championship every single year, regardless of the fact that, like, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George have not both been healthy or either been healthy. For like any time, and like what has it been now? Like 5 years that they've been there.
Yeah,
have they done one full complete postseason with both of them healthy? No. Like, I just don't get it. I don't understand what miracles they think are going to happen. I understand that they both have an incredibly high ceiling, especially Kawhi. Kawhi, when he's playing to the best of his capabilities, is maybe the best player in the NBA. Like,
I know, that's what's so wild.
Incredible.
Like, he was but so he good never, in that first game in the playoffs.
But that's it. And that's the Clippers experience to me in a nutshell in the Kawhi Leonard era, is like flashes of greatness. But as we know, flashes of greatness do not a championship make.
Yeah.
Like, you need someone you can depend on. And the playoffs are so physical and they're so gritty, and you have to take so much physical contact as a superstar in the playoffs. Like, I mean, Kawhi's not LeBron's age, but he's not in his 20s anymore.
No.
Like, yeah. I don't see it. And Paul George has had how many surgeries now, and how many, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't see it.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, especially when like all your hopes and dreams hinge on these two players, like you're saying, that just aren't gonna really appear when the time is needed. So it's funny to watch, like, like Clippers fans just being like, just sort of dejected. I have one friend who's like, doesn't matter, they don't play. I'm just embracing the chaos of whatever this season's going to be. And I'm like, oh, okay, so that's, you're hopeful? And they're like, well, yeah, maybe. You like, because, you know, Russ has a good mindset. And I'm like, oh, really now?
Ay.
Okay, well, off you go. But off we go to Sacramento to check out the Kings. They won 48 last season. They're saying 44.5 right now.
So this is just basically, that
regression
was as well as this team can do, and there will be like regression
thinking
to the mean. Yeah, because it doesn't really make sense. They have the same team coming back, and they have them losing or winning four fewer games.
I would hit the over on that. I mean, I understand they're in a really tough division. I understand that, you know, like some of the other teams are getting better. Like the Lakers will certainly win more games this year than they did last year.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think that's like, spoiler alert, I don't think that's like a huge prediction. But
no,
I do think that, like, as we saw with the Nuggets, we have a habit in the media and also as fans getting really excited when big names go somewhere and yeah. expecting that to be a huge impact on winning, and also really underestimating teams that have continuity, that are balanced, that have good coaching. And those teams do really well. And one of those teams just won a freaking championship. So yeah. I think that the Kings are absolutely going to go over 44 games this year.
Yeah.
That's yeah. cool for them. And I think De'Aaron Fox is going to go up like 9 levels this season too.
He was already so good.
Yeah.
And I mean, the Warriors had a lot of flaws, and we saw that obviously in the next round against the Lakers, but they were the defending champs and they looked for the most part really unafraid during that series. And it was all of their first times being in the playoffs, all the key players.
Yeah.
And De'Aaron Fox went toe to toe with Steph Curry for yeah. 7 games and yeah. was and threw a hand injury,
yeah.
you know, for part of it. So yeah, I absolutely think that that's a little disrespectful, honestly.
Yeah.
Of a prediction for the Kings.
I'm such like a like stealth Kings fan, like as a Lakers fan, but I'm just like, I really
they
love
were
seeing
so,
them.
I wrote a piece on them last year, kind of breaking down, like, how did they turn it around from being like the laughing stock of the NBA to like one of like the most exciting teams in the league. And they really kind of just, they have all of the components, like all of the ingredients and a recipe that goes into like a successful NBA franchise. They have a great coach. They have a good balance of vets and young players. Mm-hmm. They have an emerging superstar in De'Aaron Fox. So yeah, I have a lot of faith in them actually.
And lastly,
this one,
certainly
was,
not leastly,
we agree the Lakers are going to win more games than they did last year. They have them winning 47.5, like that's the over under. Last year when they spotted the rest of the league a 12 game head start, they right. were 43-39. Like,
yeah,
it's wild. Like I know that sometimes I'll like look at the last half of the previous season and be like, whoa, they were amazing, like their record was incredible during that, like, so that's what they're going to be bringing into this, and like that rarely works out that way. But this still feels
yeah,
low,
I would still
especially.
Go over on that.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, like this is a public team. So it feels like, you know, it's a team that like people bet on more. So it's wild that they're going so low on it.
Yeah. And all the moves, like we're younger and bigger. And I just, it's hard for me to see. Like, you only think we're going to win 4 more games. But again, it's also like, where do AD and LeBron fit into all this too? And how much can we get out of those bodies this season?
Let me break down why I think that that's super wrong and they're going to win substantially more games than that.
Okay,
reason
let's
number
go.
One, I think if their roster as currently constructed or as constructed during the playoffs was their roster all year last year, I think they would have been like the 4 seed in the West.
Yeah.
I think they were like, the West was a pretty weak conference last year, all things considered. And, you know, I think that they were right up there with the best teams in the West. And they were the best team in the West as far as record goes after the trade deadline. They won the most games in the West after the trade deadline. So that's one thing. The other thing is people forget LeBron and AD both missed a lot of time last year. Like they were both injured for a month plus each. So that win total is considering a way worse roster and even factoring in that safety net of like, what if LeBron and AD missed time?
Yeah.
So I just don't, unless one of them misses the whole season, knock on wood, like I just don't see a scenario in which them both missing time and this roster being so much better. And also Austin Reeves, you know, taking another leap now in Team USA over the year. He's looking like the best player on the floor for Team USA right now in a lot of these games. So I really don't see, I think their over-under should be at least like on par with the rest of the good teams in the West, maybe besides like the Nuggets, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, just looking at LeBron and, you know, where do you see him? Like, what's this next iteration of him we're going to see this season? How do you see that coming together?
I mean, I think LeBron is aware that this is, I would say, I don't think it's like controversial to say that this is the last chance that he has to win a ring, as at least as in the role he currently has, which is like the first or second best player on a team. I mean, mm-hmm. I think if there's any more rings in his career after this year, it's probably going to be if he does the like veteran leadership role on a team that's already really good and takes like a smaller contract, which I don't really see happening because like I don't think he really needs a ring bad enough to do that. I think he'd rather just retire than kind of take on that role. So I think he's aware that this is kind of like his last real chance. Last year was, I think that's why he was so upset about what ended up happening in the Western Conference Finals last year, is that last year was like they had a really good shot to win a championship against all odds last year. They were right there with the Nuggets within like probably like a 3 to 8 point differential for every game, even though they got swept. I mean, I'm not trying to say like, you know, that there are like any moral victories, but they were right there in those games. And that was the conference finals. And you saw who came out of the East. It was the Miami Heat. It was an 8 seed. So like they really could have, I think, potentially won a championship last year. And I think he's that really upset him because he knows how close he is to the end of his career and how few chances he has like that left. So I think this year, I think he's going to leave it all on the floor this year. I think he knows like this is the chance.
You know, my theory was that altitude was hurting him because he's old and altitude hurts I think he's been spending the offseason training at altitude. That would be my guess. And he's going to be ready for him next year. I just made that up.
In some sort of altitude chamber instead of like a hyperbaric chamber. Have the air pressure turned up.
Right. That's his MJ lifting weights after the Pistons gave him that business. Basically.
I love that that's all MJ did. He was like, wait a second.
Oh, you need to lift weights? Yeah, he's like, now I got something for you over there in Detroit. But yeah, it was a little bit difficult to watch him look more mortal towards the end of the last season. But again, I know how much talent and ability is contained within him. So like, I think like last year I was even like, hey, we put number 18 up, even with the Russell Westbrook lineup. I'll always go into the season with that kind of disturbed confidence. But I really would like, but this was a time when I'm like, okay, LeBron, like, let me see you get smarter and just like, give it to us now, because this is the time.
I mean, that first half of Game 4 was, I was there, I was at that game. And like, that was one of the craziest things I've seen in person, like in a basketball game, was what he did in the first half of that elimination game. Like he wanted that one so bad, and if literally anyone else on the Lakers roster had showed up in that game in any meaningful way on the stat sheet, they would have won that game. Like it was right there, you know. So
I think it was so much closer than it would seem based on the fact that it was a sweep.
I know. That's the thing, is that's why I say I understand that there's no moral victories, but I do feel like it wasn't a sweep in the sense of like, it was usually a sweep. When you watch a sweep, you're like, okay, one of these teams is clearly worlds better than the other one, and it's not close, and like, let's just put them out of their misery in 4 games and move on. This was like 2 teams that were, I think, quite close in how good they were. Yeah. And I think basically the difference was the bench. Like the difference was, I think the Nuggets just had more to get them over the hump when it came to those like single possession moments at the end of the games. And they had people like KCP showing up, and they had people like Michael Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon, 1 game. Like each of their role players had 1 game that was like their game.
Yeah.
They had that. The Lakers actually had more of that, I think, in the series against the Warriors, where like you had the Lonnie Walker game. You had the
Lonnie Austin Walker Reeves. The fourth quarter. I know, exactly. And like
fourth
D-Lo
quarter,
too.
Game 4. That was pretty cool. He's going to have to frame a whole bunch of things from that game. But so I think the Lakers made marginal improvements to their bench. And they, you know, still maintained the 3 most important players that they had last offseason. And so I don't see any reason why they don't have just as good of a shot this year. And I don't think LeBron is aging so precipitously that like him being a year older is going to make or break them. I think what they need is they need Anthony Davis to be like the player he was in the Warriors series in the Western Conference Finals.
All right. Well, it's time for us to take one more break, and we're going to come back with the rapid fire round of questioning right after this.
Did you ever play the over-under game with your friends? You know, think I could eat that slice of pizza in under 30 seconds? I know I did. If you have, then you're going to love Pick 6, the new fantasy game from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Here's how to play during the NBA playoffs. Pick between 2 and 6 players and choose if they'll have more or less of a stat. rebounds, points, assists, and more. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code DKHOOPS for a shot at huge cash prizes. That's code DKHOOPS only on DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including, but not limited to, Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
And we're back.
Ooh, Claire. Oh, Claire, you really stepped in at this time.
Wow. You are now in the firmly in the find out phase of being a guest on this podcast, because it is time for the rapid fire round of questioning. This is the fastest question and answer segment in all of sports podcasting history. Okay.
That I've trained all my life for this moment. I'm a New Yorker.
A moment like this. We know we're going to trespass you a question. Just send it right back.
Put your New York hat on. Take your Minnesota hat off.
Yeah, it's exactly.
I'm walking here.
Just I'm walking here.
That's the kind of energy
Victor,
we need.
I'm walking in. All right. Here we go. And also, if one of us start talking, you have to cut us off and keep this segment going, because we do want to maintain our status as a very fast paced segment. Okay.
All right.
Yeah, like we're not really good at being fast, so just really lean on you.
I'll like true men. Okay. Yeah, we're gonna rely on a labor of a woman to help us achieve what we need to.
That's never happened before.
Here we go, Brian. Start the clock. You want to go first?
It's already slow.
Whoa, I gotta get myself pumped up.
Hold on, we're getting in the blocks, okay? Hold on, now.
Yeah. You're like, here we go. Wait, hold on. Who's asking the first question? Okay.
All right, you want me to go or you want to go?
Who went last time? Did I ask that first question?
I forget. Here, I'll go this time. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. All right, the next episode, I'm gonna go first though.
Okay. We'll remember, because that'll be an even day. And
exactly.
Okay, cool. All right, Claire, ESPN recently decided to rework their NBA crew, with Jeff Van Gundy and Mark Jackson being let go after covering 15 NBA finals alongside Mike Breen. What is your dream in-game commentary team?
Doris and Mark Jones, who's already in game commentary team, but just bring them up.
Mm. Okay. Any wild cards? Like people that you would
aren't currently on ESPN?
Just if you could just say, I want to hear these three people go off and give me my in-game for your maximum entertainment, who are those people?
Shea Serrano.
Yeah.
Me.
Okay.
There you go. Big player. Feeling. That was one of our last guest answers also.
Yeah.
I don't know. I fail at this game. Clay Thompson.
Oh.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
He's so funny.
With or without the captain's hat?
With the captain's hat.
Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. Good to know. Here we go. Claire, what is your absolutely most bold prediction for the upcoming NBA season? Like, I want you to swing for the pavilion at Dodger Stadium.
The word bold is both bolded and in all caps.
Yeah.
And italicized, if that's helpful.
And highlighted.
The italics are from how fast the word is moving.
Like, put your reputation on the line with something so bold. And it can be funny. Don't worry. Nobody's going to hold you to this.
No, I know.
It is harder when you're coming off the letters too.
Yeah.
When you're on the spot, it is harder.
That's just making a noise like pew.
My most bold
that wasn't good.
Prediction.
Whoosh.
Female head coach.
Oh, okay.
Coming in this season. Okay.
This season.
Yeah. All right.
Why not?
Yeah. Boom.
Not funny. Just true.
Yeah.
Just true.
That's
bold. Let's do it.
I like that. Needed.
All right. I'm giving you an option here.
Okay.
Which offseason move will actually have the greatest impact, or which team will have the biggest win change, increase, or decrease?
Pick
You're
one.
Not allowed to say the 76ers because...
That's mean.
That's mean, and I don't know if my heart can take it.
Like, medically.
Oh, maybe this should have been my hottest take. I think when the Miami Heat get Damian Lillard, because I think they will get Damian Lillard, when they get him, I think they could win the championship next year, and I think they will. Let's just say it. I think the Miami Heat are going to win the championship next year with Damian Lillard.
Wow.
Hot take. Fuego.
Now, what is it about Damian Lillard exactly that has you saying that?
I think Dame's a winner. I think he's a winner who's been in a non-winning scenario, and I think that the Miami Heat are the perfect team for him because I think he's a Heat player. He's much like Jimmy Butler was a Heat player playing for non-Heat franchises. Right. I think Damian Lillard is the same. I think.
Okay, more on that later, Claire. We have to keep this segment going.
Oh God, but I'm sorry.
No, and it's not your fault. It's actually ours.
You explicitly told me to be faster. I'm sorry.
But what's the best NBA city in terms of food choices? And what's your go-to meal when you're in that NBA city?
Ooh, I mean, New Orleans is the best U.S. city in terms of food choices.
Two in a row. Yeah, okay. And when you're there, what are you eating?
I mean, literally just like anything. And food in New Orleans is so freaking good. I know that's a cop-out, but just eat anything and it's good. You could eat like cheap street food. You could eat fancy fine dining, like food in New Orleans.
Commander's Palace
incredible.
Kind of thing, or maybe...
I would say seafood of some kind and
muffaletas?
Something extremely spicy. Something that's going to like light your mouth on fire.
Okay.
Mm.
Fried pickles too. Also, but I feel like fried pickles are everywhere when I go down there and I can't stop eating them. whose fault is this? Oh, it's ours. Jack, next question.
Finally, the most important question of the night. Jack or Miles?
Plead the fifth.
Ooh, that is unfortunately not allowed. You are in the court of law of the rapid fire segment of questioning.
I'm going to go with the diehard Lakers fan then.
Come on.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, that's cool.
That's why I put my Eddie Jones. That's why I put my Eddie Jones up.
LA, baby. Mean? I'm about to go to a Dodgers game right after this.
Hey, you know what time it is? Okay. Thank you so much, Claire. You are one of the wisest guests we have.
That was the saddest little thing. You were just like quietly, dejectedly to yourself. Like, I also live in LA.
No, that's cool.
Yeah, but wait. What the podcast audience can't see is that Miles' whole entire like setup, everything is LA all day. Like, Lakers jersey, Dodgers hat. Just, he's really leaning in. And a LeBron Lakers jersey? Oh, I mean, AD, he's got them all.
With the Gigi patch, you know what I mean?
With the Gigi patch.
I didn't like LeBron when he first came to Lakers. He was like, I don't think this guy's good.
You're like,
That is true. That's how much of a Laker fan I was. I'm like, what's he going to do for us? You know what I mean?
That's true.
Yeah, and then you go there and you're like, thank you. Anyway, thank you guys so much for listening.
Mickey Mouse championship sometimes.
Okay, wow.
All right, can I change my answer? Is it too late?
But hey, make sure you follow us on Twitter. I'm at Miles of Gray. Jack, where are you at?
I'm at Jack underscore O'Brien.
Yeah, follow us. Just hashtag Mad Boosties, BOOSTIES, for show links, updates, and that. Claire, where can people find you and check you out, including your music and all that?
Well, I'm also on Twitter at Claire MPLS from my Minneapolis days.
Hey.
And I write for The Guardian. So you can check out my writing about the NBA on The Guardian's website. And then my music project is called Tiny Death. And I have a new single coming out August 25th, the end of this month.
Dope.
Hey.
Well, we look forward to that. Boosties listeners, please make sure you check that out. And you know what? We're going to be back next week with another episode, because that's what we do.
Maybe that's what happened. Maybe Daryl Morey's so excited about the Tiny Death's new drop that he just took his eye off the ball.
He posted maybe a picture on Twitter once with my vinyl, like at the 76ers practice facility.
Wow.
Whoa. Okay.
I know. That's my dog.
Daryl.
That's lovely. Wow. Well, another fantastic legendary guest with legendary connections. Me so much. Not really. Yeah, you got to. But we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases, and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.